Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Marostek, being joined by Tracy Williams, who's the Executive Director of the Morehead Brown County Chamber of Commerce, along with Tony Pence, who heads Downtown Morehead Incorporated. And welcome to both of you. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Morehead right now. A lot of things going on. I know we're getting into the fall. We're a couple weeks, I guess, away from fall officially, but at the same time, it's fall festival season, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Coming up is the 7th Annual Arts and Eats Festival. That's September 16th from 11 to 4. This is the 7th year, and it gets bigger and better each year. There are lots of us that work together on it, all of the vendors who come, downtown Morehead, Round County Arts Center, tourism, the chamber, all of us work together, and it is a great day. It's like a homecoming. People come and visit and just enjoy seeing each other.
You get into that situation where you have something on Memorial Day here in Morehead. You've got the parade and some of the other stuff that goes on. Then you've got the 4th of July Freedom Fest, which draws, you know, thousands of people into the downtown area. And then you come with Arts and Eats here in September. But there are kind of different crowds in some ways, aren't they?
Yeah, the Arts and Eats, it is more of a local crowd, Arts and Eats is. It's a kind of a local event. It's an altruistic event. All the money that's raised goes to charities and in our local institutions. So it's well supported, but it is a different crowd. We don't try to draw in so much from out of the county. We certainly like having them, but that's not the target market for Arts and Eats, really.
Now, if I remember right, Tony, that there was, I think, a statute passed by the city council that allows for, I guess, limited alcohol sales mm-hmm. during downtown festivals. Will that take place here during Arts and Eats?
I'm not sure that's going to happen with Arts and Eats. I do believe that's going to happen for the first time at the Pride Festival in October. We do have the signs in to demarcate, you know, the area where you can have that. The city council lowered the fee to make it accessible to do that. State laws changed a couple of years ago that allowed that. So, yeah, we hope to do that in the fall and see how that goes.
What is the fee, by the way? You remember how much
bucks.
It is?
It's 50 bucks now, I think, for the city's mm-hmm. fee to do that. And now what happens is there's a couple different ways you can do that. You can bring in a distiller or a brewer, and their licensing allows them to come. Now, and so they just pay the city's fee, and they set up and go. Now, if downtown Morehead, for example, as a nonprofit wanted to set up and do that, we would have to apply for a special event permit through the city and the state. And once the state either approved or disapproved, you move forward then and you keep track of your sales and all that sort of thing. So there's a couple different ways you can have that.
The one thing that I wanted to talk about, too, in conjunction with that, and you and I have discussed this, too, as well, and Tracy could jump in with this if she'd like, is that many people fear alcohol sales at, you know, public events where you have maybe hundreds or thousands of people, and they worry about bringing their kids and things of that nature. And maybe if you could address that.
Sure. That's been certainly discussed a lot. And the events that we currently have in place are obviously targeted family-friendly events targeting for kids, the 4th of July. And the mayor is pretty solid on we want to those to remain that way. You know, we're not going to probably change the 4th of July event or Arts and Eats with that. We could have done that this year, but we didn't press for that. What we will do moving forward is events where you expect that to be happening, to do that there. You know, like, for example, if we had a Roots Music Festival downtown and it's a new festival and you expect the expectation to be there because you would let them know from the beginning. A lot of people come to Arts and Eats and Hometown Holidays, these types of events, bringing their families, and would be a little surprised to walk upon a beer garden. And that's the attitude, and that's the overall feeling from the folks that matter. So that's fine. You know, we agree to that perfectly, and we'll move forward with doing those in a different way and keep it very moderated.
At the same time, we all know that the Morehead Police Department, and if they need to call out help from the Morehead State Police Department or the state or the county folks here in Rowan County to help them keep order, they're going to be there. I mean, there was a great presence of them during the Freedom Fest, and obviously that was a family-friendly event. No problems anywhere. So, you know, personally, I'm not that worried about it.
No, we're not going to set up an event where that is going to happen. You know, we're not going to have that. It's not going to be a beer slam fest. It'll be a craft beer type of a thing, you know, where people are artisans of their craft will be there, not a drink and drown type of an event. And that is the fear, certainly. So, but, you know, that won't ever – we won't organize an event that does that.
It will be event specific.
Yeah, and I'll ask you both this question. How challenging is it to, you know, we've developed some very good events in downtown Morehead, whether it be the spring, the summer, the fall, or the winter when we talk about hometown holidays. But how challenging is it to keep those events moving forward and being successful, and also maybe thinking about some new things that you could do?
Well, events are not cheap. We need the help of the community to do it. So we have to be mindful of the sponsorship and the help that we ask from our community and our businesses every time we plan a new event, and how they can be involved and how that benefits them as a business and how it benefits the community. It all has to even out. For instance, the Arts and Eats Festival, the business or organization gives half of what they make to the charities that have been selected, and the other half goes for their cost. Now, that probably doesn't cover their costs, but that's okay. That's what they want to do. A lot of the businesses will donate everything that they make. So we have to be very mindful when we're looking at a new event, how it's going to affect everyone involved.
Tony, would you like to add to that?
I agree with Tracy. It's you know, there's I know one of the events, for example, that Arts and Eats was put in place to fill the void for the Harvest Festival and the Hardwood Festival that used to happen. Well, the reason Hardwood Festival went away is it lost their sponsorship from the associations who no longer supported that type of thing. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
So, you know, so that was not something that the county and city really funded to begin with. It was the lumber and hardwood associations that did that. That'd be great fun to bring that back, you know.
Now, I've heard that there's a possibility that there are people out there who are considering trying to bring it back. Is that right?
There's certainly, I hear about it, you know, certainly. But, you know, back to that, who's going to sponsor and pay for it? We can't, money's tied everywhere. Tourism's very generous and able to help us sponsor a lot of things to promote these events. But you got to have payroll to bring bands in and bring these entertainers, these types of things in. It is expensive. You know, and you were talking about hometown holidays there a minute ago. We're getting ready to start working on that now and looking at some different types of entertainment for people and venues. Maybe do some thespian-type stuff and in addition to the music that we already do. And we have a clown and that type of magic thing. It's pretty fun. But, you know, we try to always have something fresh and new because you don't want it to be the same thing every time. But part of the becoming a memory is going and having the same thing every time.
What's interesting is that people expect these types of events, whether it be hometown holidays or what happens on the 4th of July or Arts and Eats. But at the same time, it's really not a given because every year you have to go ahead and get people involved, find sponsors, and get the money to put these events on. So from year to year, I mean, you can say this is what we want to do, but it's not necessarily, I would say, a given again.
Right.
It's not only the cost. It's the volunteers involved to help run these festivals. You know, it takes a lot of work. It doesn't just happen. And you have a lot of the same people over and over and over doing these events. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really would love to have more people involved offering to help because we really need the volunteers for the things that we do.
All right. We'll let you go ahead and give a shout out in terms of, you mentioned volunteers. If people were say, you know what, I could probably help out. How could I do that?
Mm-hmm. They could contact either me at the chamber office. They can contact Tony Pence. They can contact Ash Gillum at the Round County Arts Center. One of us will get you to where you need to go to sign up to volunteer.
What's pretty cool is that you've got so many people willing to partner in these events, and that doesn't happen everywhere.
No, it doesn't. We couldn't have them if we didn't do that.
No.
You know, it requires the village to have events that cost upward of $15,000-$20,000. It requires everybody's help and budget and time. It's a good thing.
Well, we talk about these events are designed to provide entertainment for the community, but also they're designed to bring in people from outside of the community to help provide economic impact to our businesses and such. But at the same time, I would think that you're not looking at it as a one-day thing many times, that you want to get somebody into Moorhead who says, you know what, this is kind of a happening place. I'd like to come back. Maybe I'd like to eat here. Maybe I'd like to shop here. I'd like to hang out here a little bit more often. So that has to be part of it, I would believe.
Oh, sure. Sure. You want to hit on that?
Yeah, it absolutely is. That's why we're involved with it, is because it does bring people in. We want people to come in to see what we have to offer. We have a lot to offer. We have a lot of local people you hear quite regularly say, there's nothing to do in Moorhead. Well, I beg to differ. There's I have a three-page list here of the next couple of months of things to do in Moorhead that might interest them. So we want to keep it alive and keep it busy and offer local things to do for our local people, but we certainly want to bring in the out-of-towners too.
Any new ideas for events that you'd like to tip us off about right now at this point?
No, not really. I don't have anything new on the agenda right now, other than we have recruited a new festival here.
All right, that's what I want to hear.
A 17-year-old Rudy Fest has, had flooding issues and had a terrible mishap over there this past June in Grayson along the creek, and had some flash flooding, which required them to have to move their venue. And I know they've tried out two or three different places and looked at people, but we were going to be able to have them around county at Poppy Mountain come in June. And so that'll represent 12,000 to 15,000 people into our community. It's a festival where they have 200-plus RVs already sold, campsites already sold, their lineups already set. So that's a nice new event that'll happen here in Round County. It'll be June the 19th or so, I think, is the date for it. That week, it's in a week-long event, so you'll have people here in the county extra for a 20-day period of time or so.
And I'm sure that'll make the downtown businesses and all the business around county that serve food or sell things pretty happy.
They'll come off that mountain to shop and spend and see what else there is to offer. They won't stay up there all week. Mm-hmm. They'll come down and look around and go to the lake and see what we have here and. That'll bring him back year after year. So yeah. Kudos to Tony for landing that. We're very, very happy to have them.
Well, about an awareness that you have to develop about things that you could bring in, Tony or Tracy? I mean, when you talk about potential events for our area, I guess you have to kind of keep your radar up and find out what people might be planning, or if they're looking, like Rudy Fest, to move to a new venue. I mean, you just have to kind of be aware of what's going on.
You do. The Rudy Fest thing, the big I didn't. They landed that themselves. I just helped them along.
Oh, well, we appreciate it.
But the thing like those guys, they bring it does have an economic impact. And the thing for them is Poppy Mountain allows them growth. They don't top out at Poppy Mountain. You can get up to 800 to 1,000 RVs up there. So, that's a huge group of people. And so they have that capacity now to grow their fest. They had peaked out where they were in their location pretty much. So we're happy to have that.
I was thinking about if they have to worry about a flood up there, we better start building the ark right.
That's right.
Now, you might have trouble getting across the creek at the bottom, but your camper won't flood up there for sure, hopefully. But, yeah, we do keep our eyes open for that kind of thing. But another thing you do, Chuck, out of respect to your neighbors, is you don't try to recruit their type of an event. Event that I think would be really cool in Round County is the hot air balloon thing. But they do that in Maysville. you know. So,
right.
But that type of stuff, you know. But, yeah, there's ideas, and I go to a lot of conferences with other people that do what I do. And, you know, there's all kinds of really cool events and smaller events that create those walking environments on a Friday night downtown when the streets would normally be rolled up. You know, we're heading in that direction, you know. But we're working on several things that really aren't ready to talk about yet that will help create that kind of thing. But, you know, right now in downtown, we don't have any spaces available. You know, there might be one or two little small opportunities down there, but most everything's full. So hopefully, you know, as we move forward and move our downtown, maybe get some new construction, that kind of thing going on, that it'll fill in some additional retail spaces and some additional living spaces for people, you know, to live and create that vibrant downtown that we're searching for.
There was an event that our station was involved with years ago, the old Blues and Barbecue Festival that both of you, I know, remember. And every now and then I run across someone who says, you know, I really enjoyed that a lot. Why don't you guys bring that back? Has there been any talk about that? Or, I mean, I don't want to put any pressure on my general manager, Paul Hitchcock, but at the same time, I know it was pretty popular in many ways.
It was. We had location issues with that one, as you know. We moved it around. That would have been a nice festival had we started it 4 or 5 years ago. I think the timing on that may have had some impact on it.
That's a costly festival with the bands that you have to bring in to be able to gather the crowd to come.
You mean so, you can't find musicians willing to play out of the goodness of their heart?
No, they have to eat as well. So, you know.
Well, you're talking about bringing named, right, you know, national acts in, and as we did, as Paul and those guys did,
yes,
you know. And so, yeah, it's pretty expensive to do that one. But it's a good one.
Yeah, it really is. I hope that at some point maybe there is a way to bring that
thing back. If we were going to do a new one and I was going to be involved, that would be what I would choose.
I agree. Me too.
Blues music, you know, type of thing.
When would you hold it? I think, you know, maybe Memorial Day weekend would be pretty good.
With Rudy Fest coming that second week of June, you know, you got Memorial Day weekend is a good long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, place, you know, I think Poppy Mountain is certainly a place to have that because they're set up for festivals. Big stage. You know, you have all the space. You can come downtown and do it, but you're not going to have the capacity downtown that you would have at a place like Poppy Mountain.
Yeah, you have to have the proper infrastructure to host events.
Yeah, we had it up there.
Yeah, and you've got some of that around this area, which really helps Moorhead and Round County.
Right.
Oh, absolutely it does. Anytime you bring 12,000, 15,000 people into your town for 3 or 4 days, it has an impact.
Oh, yes.
You know, you can't convince me it doesn't. That's just like the day that we had July 2nd this past year when we did the fireworks, the Fazoli's Freedom Fest. We had 10,000 plus people that came to town for that. Every restaurant felt the impact of that. You know, they had to have. And if they didn't, it was because they were closed. So, you know, those events do have a big economic impact to us.
Well, you mentioned the Fazoli's Freedom Fest. Obviously, you had Fazoli's as your title sponsor, and Dan Markwell, who's been very community involved, was helping to pay for a lot of that. And as the title sponsor, you know, he's done a lot of great things. But there again is an example of somebody stepping up in the community to make something good happen.
We could use a dozen or more Dan Markwells when it comes kind of thing.
We had other issues
with sponsors that came this year that followed suit. Larry Fannin Chevrolet helped sponsor that, as did St. Clair Regional, was a corporate sponsor for that. You're all a partner here with our radio station, Gateway Radio, was a corporate sponsor. They did, you know, the live on-air stuff. And so, we're getting people are coming to the table with that, and that's a good thing.
It's something that feeds off of itself, doesn't it, in some ways?
It does.
It's still relatively new. You know, there have been fireworks, and they have been everywhere. They've been from the airport to the lake to the Walmart area, and they asked us to look at taking it, and we did, and we really wanted it to be downtown. We thought that's where we wanted to guide the people to, is the downtown area, and it has worked out really, really well, and it's growing every year, so the larger we get, the more help we're going to need, and so we are always looking for more sponsorship, and it's really that's a lot of people to see your advertising or to see your sponsorship for an event. So we hope more people continue to step up.
We're on the front page. I'm Chuck Morales, joined by Tony Pence, head of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, along with Tracy Williams, who's the executive director for Moorhead Rowan County Chamber of Commerce. And we'll talk some more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's front page. I'm Chuck Morales. We're joined by Tracy Williams, the executive director of Moorhead Rowan County Chamber of Commerce, along with Tony Pence, who heads up Downtown Moorhead Incorporated. And one thing I wanted to ask you both about is that there has been an effort, and I believe the mayor, Jim Tom Trent, deserves a lot of credit for this, and I think the university, too, has stepped up in trying to make this more of a college town, give it more of that college town feel, which in all honesty, it's lacked for many years in some ways, and it's been puzzling as to why. But gradually, more and more, this seems to be happening, where you just kind of get that feel. Moorhead and Moorhead State are intertwined, and we know that one's identity is tied to the other. But at the same time, that feel is seemingly now starting to bloom.
I would agree, and there's an effort behind that. One of the things, you know, student life, you know, is as it comes and goes here on campus. You know, having a conversation the other night at a football game, the Greeks have a big impact on that student life here. You know, I think about 12% of the student population currently are Greek, and I think they want to raise that number to 15 to 17% of them. Because if you look at the alumni that come back for homecoming, the people that donate money to the foundation, that sort of thing, large percentage of those are the Greeks. They have that tie to the university. So I think it's wise to bring student life back, and if that's one of the components of that.
There have been efforts in the past, and they continue. There is a international and national town and gown association, which we look to for ideas, for things to pull us together. Our president, Jamie Hornbuckle, who is in communications here at the university, is very involved in bringing the two together. The athletic department this year launched one town, one team, and just trying to pull it together. We need each other. We survive off of each other. And it's important that we are one, not the city and the university. We have to work together. And it just seems to be getting better all the time.
I'll ask you both this question. As you move forward with that process, because I know it's not a finished product yet, and maybe it never is because it has to evolve, but at the same time, if you had a wish list for continuing this process, what would be number one on your wish list? Tracy, you're first.
I don't know. It is evolving, and new ideas and good ideas come from everywhere. So I always try to be very open-minded, present it to the board of directors, get us all working together on one page, and work these things out together. I don't have one big wish list item. There are a lot of things we need to work on, and we continue to.
I understand what you're saying, that there are so many different ways you can go with this, and it's nice that, you know, the effort continues, because, as you say, someone might come up with an idea today that you didn't know, or tomorrow, and we move forward with that.
My ideas aren't always the best, so I think we need to open our minds and our hearts to listen to one another and work on it together.
Yeah, speaking of wish list, you know, we have a big one, really. You know, I think we've got some opportunity. There's some green space left down in the middle of town that we'd like to see become a park where we could have some staging and do some theatrics and do some music. And it would be a nice town gown joint. Spot there, that would be great. And, of course, you know, we've been working now for a couple of years on bringing the hotel project downtown. We get closer to that. And once we can make those things happen, you know, and that kicks in, we're ready to go.
All right. Well, thanks to both of you for coming over. Always enjoy seeing both you, Tony, and you, Tracy, because it's always fun to have you around.
Thanks for having us.
Again, I'm Chuck Morales. This is Front Page. Our guest today, Tony Pence, head of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, and Tracy Williams, executive director of the Moorhead Round County Chamber of Commerce. We'll see you next time.